Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Tomorrow's Easter.
I know.
And we've got to get ready.
I know. And it was so weird. I always look forward to Easter for all the wonderful things. It's springtime. It's a wonderful religious holiday to celebrate the Easter candy, all of it. And I've been looking forward for this for months. And lo and behold.
I hope another candy company doesn't go out. You know, Party City went out.
Oh.
And, you know, we relied on them for plates, cups, balloons. I mean, everything, you know, for kids. It was Party City.
I know.
And there is no one's taking their place. There's not any other place in town for all the things they provided. I don't understand it.
I know it. I was hoping at least maybe when they shut down that they would at least maybe go online or, you know, something. But I don't even see that as an option. And so nobody's come in to fill that gap.
Yeah, and you'd think there should be several places like that in the United States. We're a big country.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think you'd have four or five companies competition. They never had competition. And then I don't know who owned them or anything, but they went broke like everybody else.
Yeah.
Those big companies that are not Texas companies, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, they owned the market. They had it cornered. No competition at all. And I don't know what happened. And so
I don't know either, but they lost it somewhere along the way. They probably had an executive that's getting $10 million a year or something.
Well, that's the important part. At least he gets his big bonus.
That's right. They usually do. Before they go under, they'll give the guy the bonus and watch him ride away in the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched a company because we both worked there at the time. Not you and I, but my wife and I both worked there at the time. And we literally saw a company who forced the entire company, and they had places all over the United States, probably, I don't know, several thousand properties. And they made everybody in the company furlough for a week. So you had to work for a week. You could not file for, what is it, unemployment.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of the CEO and the family that originally owned it, and they paid him this gigantic bonus on the way out the door. And they got it. But at what cost? Well, you know.
Yeah, and then they said, oh, by the way, the company is broke.
Yeah.
creditors just go fly in the sun, you know.
They do. I don't understand. So,
and you know, all the big trucking companies that went out is just shocking to me. These big trucking companies have been in business for years and years and years. I mean, we used to use them to, you know, deliver goods for us. And the other day, that last one that went broke just told them to park the trucks wherever they were on the highway and get a ride home.
Are you serious?
That is so bad.
Wow.
I mean, they just told them, you know, there's no use going any farther in that truck. We'll no longer pay the gas to get you where you're supposed to go.
Oh, my
And it
word.
Was a huge trucking company. Been in business for years and years and years.
I didn't even hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. And there's been several this last year, and I don't understand it. Trucking companies across the United States have delivered goods as long as we can all remember.
Yeah.
And have been very profitable. And suddenly they're not profitable. I don't understand it.
I don't understand that either. I mean, it's not like they're being replaced with like a train system or boats.
That's what I thought. Are they going to ship it by train now? What will they do?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like that's all there really is to reach, I'm guessing, most of the country, 99%, I would say. You know, you've got
big goods that come in, you know, from Europe. They come into all the ports. And then they're trucked to us.
Yeah.
So there's not near as many trucking companies as there was a year ago.
Wow.
And I don't understand. I think there's been three that's went broke.
Oh, my word.
And I just don't understand it. Of course, I don't know how many trucking companies we have. Maybe we had a surplus and none of us knew it.
Well, that could be. I mean, I hope there's still enough resources there, because if the trucking companies are going out of business, one, we're not going to have our goods. But then the other thing is, what would that do to the price? I mean, if there's less competition, being able to ship it, they can charge more, which would inflate prices for the goods that they're shipping. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a what strange
happens.
Thing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, now then, Amazon says they're going to offer 1 day delivery on everything. They've made some kind of a deal with somebody where you can actually get your things in 1 day.
Really?
Yeah, that's that sounds awfully good.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, usually it's, you know, 2 days, maybe three, but I don't know. Huh. Well, let me tell you the good news.
Oh, okay.
While we're talking about that, the Butler policy has matured.
Oh.
It's $2 million, so a lot of people. There's 20 people in it.
Wow.
That's a lot of people going to get paid.
Yeah. And that's 2 million, you said?
2 million.
Wow.
Butler has matured. We're waiting on death certificate, and then it'll go straight to the carrier. But that's great news for everybody.
Wow. That is fantastic.
Yeah. When you've got 20 people in a policy, that's a lot of people to pay.
Yeah, it is. And a big chunk, too.
Yeah. So when it gets to the carrier and they pay, they'll notify us that it's at the carrier. Then we'll know how many days, you know, to tell people they'll get their money.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a interesting way to start the show. I didn't realize it. I wasn't expecting that. So such a big one.
I know.
One too,
I thought I'd surprise you, Dave.
I know.
And let me tell you another story. A gentleman called me from New Braunfels this week. And he said his wife had an IRA with me. We looked it up. She's had it 20 years.
Wow.
And she's went to the nursing home. And he wanted to know, you know, what it was worth. Well, she started out 20 years ago with $104,000 in her IRA. Now she's taken her IRA out every month for 20 years. It is still worth $100,000.
Wow.
I'm so impressed by that. I looked at it and I go, holy cow, she made good money for 20 years, enough that she still got her original investment.
Wow.
And they live in New Braunfels, Texas. They live in the same house that they did when they bought the annuity. I checked everything out.
Oh, my word. So after 20 years, she's been taking it out, using, like, in real everyday life, using the cash, using the profit, and she still has $100,000 in the annuity.
And still has $100,000 after 20 years.
Wow.
So, and that's after taking her RMD every year for 20 years.
Oh, my word.
I mean, because she had to, you know, she retired and been taking it all these years and still has the original money. I'm so impressed.
I am too. I'm just visualizing how this goes. It's like if you had, you know, this investment, and you're still taking money out of it, so you're using it. Your brain thinks, okay, this is starting to dwindle down. But after 20 years of still taking money out, she still got $100,000 in the annuity. I think that just drives home how wonderful and sustaining and conservative these investments are. Because look at all the things that have happened in 20 years that have affected the stock market or, you know, real estate or all these other things. And the annuity holds all the time.
Yeah, and it just rocks along, steady as you go. And I don't even remember what all the annuity covered because 20 years ago, we didn't have as good annuities as we have now.
Yeah.
It didn't give you all the choices you have now. You know, it was much more conservative than what we have now. In other words, you didn't have all the indexes 20 years ago. So you didn't have all the choices that, you know, that people have now.
Yeah.
So I was really, really impressed to find out that she'd done that good, you know, on that annuity.
That is impressive. I'm really impressed with that. I mean, I don't think in as long as we've been talking about conservative investments and annuities and life settlements, I don't think we've ever driven it home how you can actually enjoy the investment while still maintaining it at the same time. And it doesn't hemorrhage cash. That's just fantastic.
And now the ones that really mess up that end up having to pay extra tax is like a relative of mine that I have been in a nice annuity with. They retired, and they started taking 10% a year out.
Oh.
And then the government said, wait a minute, you know, on these IRAs, you're going to have to pay more tax because you took more than the minimum distribution. So they actually owe tax this year because they took too much money out.
And yeah. These are people that you know personally.
I know them very well. They're down the road from me. When they retired, they said, here's our retirement money. You know, do something with it. I said, well, we'll put it in an annuity for you because it's all IRAs. And I didn't know how much they were taking out. I figured 3% or 4%. Oh, no, they got greedy and started taking 10%.
Oh, no. Oh.
And now they found out it cost them taxes.
Surprise.
Yeah, so this year they will pay tax because they took more than the minimum.
Yeah, well.
You know, the government says... The government says nothing's ever been paid on this, and you're supposed to take it out slowly.
Oh.
And they, you know, you have to take like 3 point something out. But oh no, they had to take 10.
They got greedy and saw the shiny object and couldn't resist.
That's right. I didn't ask them what they spent it on.
Oh,
I just said, oh, you're going to have to pay taxes. Yes, they do their taxes early. You know, most people do not do them till the last minute.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's more fun that way. But anyway, they did them early, and then they found out, oh, no, you're going to have to pay tax.
Oh, my word.
So they mentioned it to me and told me they were taking the 10 instead of the regular amount you're supposed to take.
Oh, no. That's what you get for not listening to Faye. I'm telling
you. That's right. If they'd have asked me, I'd have told them, you know, this is what you're supposed to take out. But oh no, they got creative.
Creative, that's what we'll call it. Creative.
That's what I called it. I said, this is a creative deal y'all have done, but it's not the right thing to do, you know? We're supposed to just not take that much.
I mean, just because you can take 10% doesn't mean you should.
No, unless you want to pay the tax on that 10.
Yeah.
The other way, you're paying a minimum amount of tax. So you're actually making more because there's more left in the account every year.
Jeez. Government always comes calling.
That's right. On those IRAs, you know. But people forget about that, I think. But I've got a lot of people that just retired. We've just done retirement for a lot of people. And it was interesting process this time because... the people that had the gold, they didn't get all their money. We still don't know what happened. I just don't know enough about gold to know why he didn't get the amount that showed he made. I don't understand. So anyway, and then I don't know who the check was on, but the bank didn't give you immediate credit for it. I had several people this time that didn't get immediate credit on their accounts.
Well, why is that normal? Or
no,
why?
It isn't. I think it's because they're out. They're not Texas companies, you know. When they're in New Jersey or New York City, I believe they have a little different rules for that.
Yeah, they have a different way of doing business than we do.
I think they do. I think they say, if it's coming from New York City, we need to think about it a little more.
Yeah.
And, of course, they may bank at small banks.
Mm.
You know, a small bank would be a lot more cautious than a big one. Now, when we used to take a lot of checks, the bank would overnight it, you know, to their central clearinghouse, and it cleared in 2 days.
Wow.
So maybe it's different with some banks now.
I don't know. It just...
Or maybe they just holding them longer. I don't know. But, you know, several years ago, they changed it. I think there was only a 2-day or 3-day hold on a check.
Hmm. It's kind of interesting how things have changed. Just general, I guess, business in general. especially with all the security, because I know that, you know, we were talking, you know, in the last couple of weeks about how, you know, people are trying to do all these trickery things and fool people. And so there's more and more security measures that have been put into place, and it makes it much harder to, I guess, to do anything nefarious. But you would think that kind of business would, maybe move in proportion with it. I'm not quite sure how to say that, but it just seems like things are changing in different ways, which doesn't make
well,
sense.
Well, it's a very modern world that we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things are very, very modern, and some aren't.
It's just,
you know?
It's weird. I don't know. It's
But
it's,
with the bonuses, all these people, as I said, we've had a lot that are retiring, and they got great bonuses. It's really going to help the income, their profit. It's really going to make a difference, because these big bonuses are added up front to your policy. That's in addition to what you're going to make. So you've already got a lot made before you even got started.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. It's, you know, the one you were talking about a little while ago with the annuity from 20 years ago, they didn't have bonuses back then. They didn't have.
No, it was just a straight annuity, but they've done good.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't understand how they did that good, you know, after taking the RMD every year, all these years.
Yeah.
And, of course, he wasn't involved in her annuity because it was an IRA. And she apparently didn't tell him a thing about it all these years, because now she's went to a nursing home, he wanted to know about it.
Yeah.
And I told him, you know, we'd get a copy of it and send out, which we did. And that's how I knew about it, because I got to look at her statement, and I was just shocked.
Yeah.
But that's the way to go.
I'd like to check in 20 years from now with how far annuities have come as from when they started 20 years ago, or when she started 20 years ago, and then with the bonuses on top of it. I'd like to see what happens in 20 years from now, just because they've got
It'll
kind of a
It'll be such a modern world, we wouldn't recognize it, probably.
I know it. I can't imagine, you know, you have 16% on top of the actual annuity itself, and if you play it smart and, you know, take out, you know, like she did, not the 10%.
If you take 3.6 or something,
yeah,
this money will last you a long, long time.
It really
will.
So
you've already got your... all this interest is credited right now. And then at the end of the year, we'll have all your profit. And, you know, if it just very conservative goes along next 10, 20 years, you've got a great investment, a great portfolio. It can't go down. I love that part. And I love that it's not like the stock market. It's different. And, you know, if something happens to you, your wife and children get it. I have a lot of people raising grandchildren and great-grandchildren right now.
That's true.
They've got to have something that's really steady and no a lot of risk.
Yeah. And then you've got college funds on top of that that people set annuities up for. You know, a head start in life. If somebody, I don't know, I'm sure you probably got people that have said, okay, your young child is showing an interest in something, may want to open their own business of some kind. It's a good start for that. It's great for college. It's great for emergency situations. Annuities are great. It's a great conservative to set up a foundation for just about anything, whether it's education or business or life in general. It's a great foundation.
That's right. And it's good if you've got somebody just getting married and you want to help them, set them up an annuity where that later, if they want to buy something, they've got money in this annuity to do it. I've got several people that invested in annuities with their children, and their children weren't even married. And so we did some joint deals between the families inside. And that's worked real well, too.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Married couples buying their first house, you know, all kinds of things.
It was just all kinds of things. Then the ones we set up that were in high school, you know, all that family, some of them still have some money left in the annuity, which is shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, they were using it for college. You know, some of them got married. I think there's maybe one that isn't married. But the mother called me about 2 weeks ago and wanted to know what was left in her daughter's annuity.
Hmm. And there was still some in there.
Apparently, yeah, there's still some in there. And it's shocking because the grandparents set this up, and they were, I guess, it seems like they were in junior high when we did this. I can't remember for sure. And we set it up and put in there that they could not touch it unless they went to college.
Wow.
So it was a college fund for them, and they all knew it. And, you know, they behaved correctly. I never heard one of them try to cash it in or anything.
I was fixing to say that's the part I think that surprises me, because historically, just generally speaking, most young people don't know how to handle money. And if they see a large chunk in front of them, they're going to do everything they can to get every penny of it and blow it on silly things like I did.
There you go. Well, when you're young, you have no sense.
You don't.
You know, fast girls, fast cars, you know, fast living. Yeah. Those things happen. So, you know, most kids are not conservative, and until they get about 30, and then they want to change. They want to be somebody. But that early years, they just want to party and have a good time. And they're only going to college because kids are made to, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Then a lot of them are serious. They go to college and start out the right way. I think it depends how they're raised.
Yeah. I think so. I know when I was in high school and they did all those testing to see what you're interested in and what field would be great, I had no idea. I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do until my first year of college, and then I figured it out after that. But, I mean, that was kind of late. So, you know, I mean, everybody's a little bit different. Some people go wild and go crazy and just, you know, spend and party and go nuts, and then other people have an idea what they want to do from the time they're like in eighth grade, and they're focused, and they're you're just laser eyed on where they're going with their future, and very smart and responsible. So can't you set up an annuity so that somebody wouldn't be able to touch it? Say they didn't set it up for like anything specific like college or anything like that. They just had an annuity for the kids, but they can't touch it until they're like 35. Is that a thing? Can they do that?
Yes, you can put stipulations in there. And, you know, a lot of things they change after that first year. You know, whatever they started out, they didn't like it. And so then they changed the second, third year and went off and did something else.
Hmm. Okay.
And my granddaughter wanted to be a biologist, you know, marine biologist. Then she checked what they make. She said, I can't live on that. I go, oh, my God. Yeah.
So there's one that's going to be laser focused.
I mean, I don't know what she's going to be, but she's very, very smart. She's not only on the A-roll, but she's now taking a lot of college courses.
Wow. And, I mean, that's.
Yeah. We're talking about a ninth grader.
A ninth grader taking college courses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
pretty good. Isn't
that
it?
Is great. Yeah, that's rare. And
she's a wonderful girl besides that.
Yeah.
She's not one of these that gives you trouble. She's very nice, very polite.
Well, you got something special on your hands. I know you raised her right and, you know, did all the right things to be a good influence. And then she kind of, it sounds like, took the ball and ran with it.
She did. And she still likes to do things with her grandmother. And that's a very unusual, because, you know, most of them do not want to talk to you. They've got other things to do.
Yeah. Other places to be and all that. Has she figured out what she does want to do? Or
I'm not sure. She's taking driver's ed.
Oh, my God.
She's, yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
And we've given her this used car that we had that was just sitting in the driveway for several years. It's a little Nissan. And so we've given her that to practice in. So if something happens to it, it won't matter. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
But someone has to be in the car with her. And I said, not me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the car with her.
She may be responsible and very well-mannered and very smart, but you are not getting in the vehicle.
No, I'm not getting in. You know, somebody that's just learned to drive, you know, she might go on a cow pasture or hit a fence. I mean, you just don't know.
You really don't. I hope not. But, I mean, I suppose it's possible.
Anything's possible. Well, let's talk about life settlements also.
Let's do it.
For the little bit younger people, the life settlements is a great investment. You know, we've been doing this a long, long time. We've gotten better at it. We started out in 2013, not knowing exactly how this was going to work. But we've gotten better the last 3 or 4 years, I think. People are making more money. You know, we've had a lot of maturity since January. I think before the Butler policy, I think we had 8 million in maturities.
Oh, my word. Really?
Yeah. So a lot of people have gotten paid. A lot of people, yes. Some of them were on time. Some were early. We had a couple that were late. Butler policy's late, but there's a great profit in it. The premiums weren't high. So, you know, everybody still got some great profit there, which I'm thankful for. But what I love about life settlements is it's a life insurance policy. We buy these from people that have cancer, that's terminal, that need the money. And so they sell it to us, and we divide it up among the clients that want it. They get paid, and it comes from the bank. They don't have to rely on us. It goes straight to Nevada Trust. They put it in their account, and they pay them. So that's what's great about the way we do this. That's what's great about the investment. We don't handle their money. We don't touch it. Nevada Trust is always in charge. They're the trustee on everything we do.
And that's so important. You know,
it's really important. Everything I read about all these companies, let me tell you something. If they'd had a trustee, they would never lose a dime, because that trustee is insured and they are in charge of your money and they handle it. We never touch the client's money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so much that's in control. I want to make sure I say this the right way. When you're in the stock market, for example, the broker can pretty much do anything he wants.
That's true.
You don't know really what you're in. You don't have much control over really anything. With a life settlement, you know exactly the policy that you're getting into. You know all the ins and outs. You know about when it's going to mature. You know the profit. You know the risks. And when it's all said and done, you have the trustee in there. And so everything is in order. It's just like you know exactly what's going to happen at every single stage. And I don't know that you can really find any other investment that's like that. It's just, it's so buttoned up and it's so, is secure the right word or mapped out?
I think it is secure. Your money is secure. You know where your money is. You know how much you're going to make. You know what the risk is going in. And you should know. You should know the risk. You should know the rewards. And it's not for anyone that's 80 or that old, you know. It's for somebody in like 40 years and up.
Yeah.
And because you have to make decisions. And that's why I love it, is because the profit, you know, is averaging 26%.
Mm. That's incredible.
And on some of them the other day, you know, they made 30-something percent. We've got a policy now. We may not get it, but we're bidding it. It's a cancer case, and it's 9 months.
Oh, wow. That's short.
It's very short. So they're going to make it like 11, 12%. You don't make as much of the short ones, but they come due real fast. And, you know, we had one a couple of months ago that was 2 years. They didn't even live 6 months. That was one of the ones that came due in January.
Oh, yeah. I remember the ink was barely dry, wasn't it?
It was. We were in shock. Because we weren't expecting it at all.
Yeah.
But we had two like that since January that came in early.
Hmm.
But even if it comes in on time, which is great, or even if it's late, we've escrowed if it for that lateness. You know, not only do we escrow the, you know, the premium for how many months, we go an extra year every time.
Yeah. And I would have, and I don't know the numbers, but I'm just guessing based on the conversations that we've had. And when you say, oh, these policies came in early, these policies came on time, from all of those, it seems like in my brain that you don't really, I know you escrow for a year, but it doesn't seem like in most cases you really have to touch it. Or if you do, you don't go very deep into it.
Yes.
Okay.
And we don't want people to pay premium. We want to be able to sure that we've covered it.
Yeah.
And sometimes if it's a longer one, but I think it's a great one, you know, I've went out even farther than 12 months.
Hmm. Yeah. I know that you have certain standards, certain thresholds, certain requirements of things that you look for in a policy when you're even just looking at them, deciding whether to bid on them. But then there's other things. There's sometimes, you know, a circumstance that you might see in the data that may say, you know, this isn't maybe normally a policy we would go into just on the surface level, but you start reading into it and there's things in there that you say, this actually might come out to be a really profitable investment or a policy that really makes people a lot of money in a relatively short amount of time. You're still not going for policies that are, you know, going to mature in 20 years. That's not the point. But
we would like to avoid those. You know, yeah. We have one, you know, our original policy, and I hate to talk about Mr. Denton, but everybody knows about Mr. Denton. You know, the man was old when we did this. Everybody assured me, you know, he was at death's doorstep. But I forgot the fact that he was very, very wealthy. And at 92, when they said he's going to die this year, they go and do a valve replacement on a 92-year-old. You know, in Texas, they wouldn't do that. Most states, they wouldn't.
No.
Because I think it's elder abuse. I mean, the man can't even get up and walk.
Yeah.
And they did this dadgum valve replacement. Crazy.
Who would have ever guessed? I mean, we could have been at a betting table in Vegas and said, hey, here's this guy. He's 92. What are the odds he's going to have a valve replacement? I wouldn't put my money on that for nothing in the world. So that's...
I would never believe that deal.
No.
And, you know, so anyway, that's our bad story.
Yeah.
About Mr. Denton. He still hadn't died. But this is a man who can't get up and walk, can't do anything. I mean, he's just there. I swear to you, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either. It seems to defy all logic as far as every angle that I look at it. So,
but that's
make
our
sense.
Original investment in 2013.
Yeah,
was Mr. Denton.
And those
we're
are
still
long gone.
Talking about it.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean that one's there, but you don't do those anymore. There's no such
we
thing.
We don't do anything if they're elderly. I tell them, take it and keep it.
Yeah. Because we all know that if they're elderly, they're going to outlive all of us combined.
That's right. And they will show us. I mean,
yeah.
It's the darndest thing I ever heard of.
Yeah. They'll live that long just to show us.
Did you know somebody sent me an Ellie the other day? Obviously, they didn't know me very well, and it was 44 months.
No.
Yeah, 44 months.
Wow.
What's the chances of selling that?
They clearly didn't know you very well. Wow.
No.
What a waste.
Yeah, and we don't want to do anything. We can help it over 30 months.
Yeah.
I tried never do anything over 30.
That's kind of your limit. Now, I think you've done one or two, or I'm trying to think now. I want to say one was maybe 37.
We might have, if it's an older policy.
Yeah, it was a really rare case, though. It was several years ago, I think, but
yeah,
and I don't think it.
I hope so. If it was 37 months.
Yeah, what was it? Maybe not. Was it Hunters or Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, that's not what you do. You're very highly focused with the policies that you're getting. And even if somebody's, like you were saying, if they're like in their 40s, you know, you still got 20, 25 years until you retire. And if people start in their 40s, even if they're 50s with life settlements, they have a ton of time to, I don't want to, how do I say this? It's, they have a ton of time to get into these policies before they get to retirement and have to maybe switch over to something that they know when they can take things out. It's more of a calendar consistent basis. Am I saying that the right way? Or
yeah, and right now we're having even some of our people that have been with us a long time. A gentleman that used to come in the office in, there in Midland, he would come and have coffee, and he always straightened up that beautiful oil painting, or that cowboy painting out front. He always said it wasn't straight. And he couldn't stand it. And his wife had died and put her policy, her life settlements with him. And then he had his, and he quit coming in. And we were worried about him. We couldn't reach him by phone. And they told us this week he had passed away.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And he has a daughter, and we did not know her, but she called in, and we said we'd really been worried about him, and we'd been calling, but he wasn't answering anymore, and I don't know if he went to the hospital. Don't know what happened to him.
Oh, no.
But we know he's not with us anymore.
And it has a whole different perspective. It would be one thing if, you know, you were just a faceless person at the bank or something. But you know your clients on a personal basis.
And they come in the office.
Yeah.
You know, all of them have. And David Truitt, who's no longer with us, he used to come in his shorts and his tennis shoes. And he was retired from the college. And I loved that man. Yeah. And he loved trivia. And when he went and traveled all over the United States, he'd tell me about the trivia he found. So he was really interesting, very interesting person, really nice.
That is
and,
nice.
Yeah, he, when he retired from the college, he came to us, gave us some money, then the next year gave us some more, then he just gave us all.
Yeah, and he was all in.
He was all in. So it was a great relationship, and we miss him. And we have a couple others that are sick right now. But other than that, the rest of them are in good shape. They've got great money in their accounts. I had a lady this week that wanted to know what she'd made this last year. And heck, she had four maternities.
Oh, wow. That's
so I don't know what the average person had this year. I'd sure like to know. In 2025, how many they averaged in maturities.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the more policies that people are in, the more mature, and then the more money they make, and then the more they put back into new policies. And that's really kind of the whole I guess, the strategy behind the whole thing, not just get into one policy and then go off and retire. It's get into as many policies as you can and stay consistent, stay active. And that's how your greatest investors have made the most money over all these years, is just the consistency of always being invested. And that's how it grows.
I think so. And, you know, as they get older, you know, the policies, that money just piles up in their bank accounts, which is great.
Yeah, it really does. It adds up quick. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Easter.
Of course it is.
Okay.
I should have guessed.
Do you know where Easter came from for us in the United States?
Germany.
That's one of the, it was all the Netherlands, Germany, all the Europeans is what brought it over. And they started doing the resurrection, everything in the second century over there.
Oh, wow. Really?
So it started in Europe in the 2nd century. And it didn't come to us till, you know, the ships came and started bringing people. And then we had the 13 colonies. So they were the first people that celebrated Easter. And it is the holiest, holy holiday that we have, as you know, is our Easter and the resurrection. And in our country, you know, 90% of the people will be in church on Sunday. And you know, we don't have as many great cathedral churches as we used to, but I loved the Greek. I love all these architectural wonders, you know, that the people way, way back came over here. They did all this carving. They were great craftsmen. And the things they did for churches way back then was really fantastic.
Yeah. And knowing that they did it all by hand, they didn't have like these machines. That's just...
They had no machines. Ugh. And it's just amazing to me.
It is.
Okay. How many billion do you think they'll spend on food for Easter?
Oh, a billion. Okay. Oh, I'm going to say 1.5 billion.
7.5 wow. billion will be spent on food in the United States.
Oh, wow. Ooh, I was
what do you
close.
Think? How much do you think they're going to spend on clothes for Easter?
Easter clothes. Okay. Is this in the millions or the billions?
I'm going to let you guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll say 500,000.
$3 billion on clothes for Easter.
What?
$3 now, you
billion?
Think everybody. Yeah, we've come a long way. You know, I was thinking back in the 50s and 60s, you know, what Easter clothes cost, what a car cost. And, you know, seeing the little girls with their little bonnets and their gloves and those little white and black patent shoes, you know, clothes didn't cost much. And, of course, everybody back then went to church on Easter. You know, the families went together. They sat together. You know, it's such a holy time as our Easter, other than Christmas. And they say people, not a third of the people go to church now. And that's how much, But they said on Easter, they do. 90% of Americans will be in church. But look at all the things that's happening in our country. You know, the people are not teaching their children about Christ, about the resurrection, or why we should go. They're just letting them stay home, I guess. I'd say we've become a lazy country.
Yeah.
It's laziness. Okay, what do you think they're going to spend on candy and gifts?
Candy and gifts. Well, based on what I spend on candy alone.
We know what you're going to spend. Every dollar you get your hands on and carry it out.
Yeah, and then go back for more.
That's
I'm
right.
going to say $5 billion.
$25 billion.
No, are you serious?
You want to be in business just for Easter.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, you need a pop-up deal just for Easter.
Wow. I could sell Easter candy for like 2 months before Easter and then just retire for the rest of the year.
That's
My
exactly right.
Goodness.
Now then, what is the number one candy for Easter this year?
I want to say my favorite is the Reese eggs, but I'm also going to say the little Cadbury eggs.
Reese's peanut butter eggs is number one in the whole country.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You know why?
Because I always eat the chocolate. You know, I want the chocolate bunnies. So I did not know that. Okay, what do you think is number three?
What's that egg? No, not the egg. The Easter bunny that's wrapped in the gold paper or the gold.
It's the Cadbury chocolate mini eggs.
Oh,
that's number three.
Oh, wow. I should have known that. All right.
And I should have looked up to see how many people are going to cook versus going out. But my opinion is 90% of the people will be eating out. What do you think?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, everybody's all dressed up, and there's all kinds of, you know, buffets and Easter deals and Easter lunch specials and all kinds of things. I would say so, yeah.
Because, you know, you're dressed to the hills. Everybody's got their Easter basket. Everybody wants a picture with the Easter Bunny. Now, the Easter Bunny, you know, every year has come to the house. You know, he shows up with his long ears, his big feet, his big hands, and he hunts eggs with the children. And it's so much fun. And he'll hide all the eggs several times for them.
Oh, wow.
So I love the Easter Bunny.
So they find the eggs, and then he rehides the eggs.
Does he rehide? Then he takes pictures. Every year, we've got all these great pictures with Easter Bunny.
Well, then that'll be a lot of fun then.
It's a lot of fun. And then you do all your pictures with him. I have pictures with just me and the Easter Bunny, with the grandchildren, with everybody. Everybody gets a chance to have a picture with the Easter Bunny.
Nice. That'll be special. Nice.
It is. And over the years, when they get grown, they can look back over the years, you know, going to church with everybody, the Easter Bunny, going to, you know, wherever we're going to eat. There's just a lot of memories there for everybody.
Yeah. That'll be great to look back on the on those pictures from past years, especially as they get older. I think you got caught with this once, and I want to say it might have been Mother's Day, but unless you get caught in the same Easter outfit 2 years in a row, then you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they'll know you didn't change.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm bad about that. If there's something I really like, I say to heck with it, you know. And everybody says, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, because it'll show up in pictures. And even though it's a year that's gone by in real life, when you're looking at the pictures right in a row, year after year, it's like, uh-oh, what year was
that? That's right, it does show. Yeah, and you look at the growth of the children. You look how tall they're getting. You know, just a lot of memories to be made with pictures. Pictures are a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. It really is a special time. It's one of those holidays that I think, you know, not only just because it's spring, but it's just like, you know, it's one of those optimistic holidays because of what it really is about.
That's right.
And then, you know, it's just, I don't know, it just seems like it's one of the most... I know Christmas is magical and all, but it just seems like, I don't know, Easter is just a little bit more hopeful, a little bit more optimistic, a little bit more happy. I don't know what the right word would be, but it's got something special to it.
And it means so much to everybody. Everybody that's a Christian, you know, in our country, it means a lot.
Yeah.
And the pagans, it wouldn't mean much in those pagan countries. But this is a Christian nation here. So everybody does go to church. You know, they do the right thing. And I think they teach the children that you always go to church first. Then you have the great time.
Yes. Yes. Because, I mean, that's the order that they should. And I know a lot of people will go to like a sunrise service, and then there's a mid-morning service. And sometimes if it's really crowded, there might be an early afternoon service.
Did you know a lot of the big churches are having 3 and 4 services?
Wow, really? We're up to 4 in some cases?
Yes, some of them are having an afternoon one.
Wow.
And they're telling the members for them to come early, where the visitors will have room to get in the church.
Yeah, wow. It's a big, and it almost seems like while some holidays might be getting smaller and smaller, it almost seems like Easter celebrations may be getting bigger and bigger.
We've got more children now.
Oh yeah,
that's why it's so much bigger.
Of course,
everybody's got children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. That's what it is. You don't realize we've expanded and expanded.
I didn't take population into account. My bad.
Yeah, you didn't think about how many people there really are here.
No, I should have. But yeah, you got a point. That's right. There's more. There's more generations alive now. Grandparents, parents, kids, and sometimes even grandkids. So sometimes there's four generations of families that are existing right now. So,
and remember, if they're going to spend $7 billion on food, that's a lot of people in the United States.
Yeah, we're feeding a lot of people.
That's we really sure. are. And, you know, I just can't imagine that much food.
Yeah.
$7 billion.
I can't. I almost have to wonder now which is bigger, Thanksgiving or Easter, because they got to be pretty close, I would think, as far as
well,
the food
I have
goes.
To, I don't know. I would say maybe Easter's more expensive.
Oh, that might be what it is. Yeah.
Because remember, not as many people go out on Thanksgiving. Most people do cook at home. But on Easter, everybody goes out.
That's true. See, I didn't take that into consideration either.
Yeah, you have to take that, that nobody cooks on Easter. I mean, I haven't heard one person say, gosh, I'll get to get started.
Yeah.
Everybody I know is ringing that phone saying, let me get this reservation done.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's all about starting to cook 3 days in advance.
That's right. You've got to start and look at all this time people spend buying the groceries at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true.
And I haven't heard one person say, oh, I'm going to the store to start Easter dinner. No, they're going straight to the phone.
Yeah, make a reservation. And if you waited until now to make a reservation, good luck.
That's right.
You're probably not going to find
it. I mean,
it.
I don't think you're going to. You're going to be eating a sandwich
yeah.
yeah. on the corner, you know?
As long as it's a ham sandwich, I guess you're okay.
That's right. As long as you've got ham and cheese, you'll make it.
Yeah. But one day before Easter, yeah, no, I don't think you're going to find much reservations. If you do, then you got lucky or somebody canceled or something happened.
Somebody canceled or it's not where everybody's going, let me tell you that.
Yeah, you're not going where the cool kids go.
That's right.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Enjoy the Easter Bunny tomorrow, and that'll be huge fun and another year of memories with the kids and the grandkids and the whole family. So that'll
that's
be
right.
Great. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay, so I know we were talking about the wonderful things about annuities. Is there any kind of a downside? Because I know we were talking about with life settlements.
No, because remember, annuities can never go down. They can only either stay stable or go up. And that's a great blessing right there.
Yeah. They've got that stopgap so you don't lose your entire...
That's right. And it's not in the stock market, never direct in the stock market. It is in indexes, but it's in indexes inside the annuity, which makes it a great investment.
Yeah. And I guess even drilling down farther than we normally do, that example you gave at the beginning of the investor who, you know, started investing 20 years ago in her annuity and still has $100,000 left in it. You know, if you do it smart, it's not just getting the annuity and then, you know, be done. But you get in the annuity now, you take advantage of the 16%, you take out, you know, what you need to keep it around 3.5, 6, something like that. Avoid taking out the 10% if you can. But if you do the annuity smart, you can end up with almost as much as what you started with over
that's
a 20-year
right.
period and still
if
enjoy
you don't
the money.
Get excessive, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you so. Don't, you're going to end up with still quite a bit of money.
I'm still blown away by that. It's just, we've never put it in real life, real numbers before.
Well, that's the first time I'd looked it up. You know, I don't usually look it up, but I did. I looked it up and I go, wow.
Yeah. And just to clarify, those 16% bonuses are still in play, right?
It is still in play. You get that up front, it's added immediately. So you're getting interest not only on the money you put up, but on the bonus.
Yeah.
So you're getting interest on top of the bonus and on top of your money. So that makes it a great thing.
Yeah, it's just money.
It is. And I would recommend it for anybody. It doesn't matter what age you are. An annuity will work.
Yeah, annuities are definitely the way to go without the risk, without, you know, all the anxiety that goes with it, and just money on top of money. So with life settlements, there's two risks that people need to know about. What's the first one?
The first risk is, if it goes over, you're going to have to pay premium. You need to know what that premium is up front. We always tell you, everything about the contract when we send it out for you to review, so you would know immediately. The other thing is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. Then the other thing is, you must be accredited. A non-accredited investor cannot do this. You must be accredited. So you must make $200,000 a year, or you must have a house that's worth $1 million, and you cannot count that, okay?
Okay. Your main residence doesn't count, but other properties, rental properties?
Yes, your rental properties count. Your other investments that you might have, if you have a 401k, an IRA, all this other counts. But you cannot count your house.
Okay. So all your assets combined have to be $1 million, just not your main house.
No, but you can either have $1 million without your house, or you can just make $200,000. Either one.
All right. I mean, it sounds pretty straightforward.
It's either or. It is straightforward. And those are the rules set by the government.
Cool. And how long does it take to get it, say, for a new investor to come over? How long would it take to get set up?
We can do it now in about 5 days.
Fantastic. That's
now
quick.
That's if we're not waiting on dispersals from an oil company or some big company, it might take longer because they're not in any hurry. You've turned in your computer, you've turned in your phones, and then they've got to say, oh, he no longer works here. Once they do that and say, okay, he's out the door, then the money's available.
Yeah. All right. So anybody who is interested or just wants some more information or has questions or anything like that, you're always available. But they do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.